And I want to talk to you this morning. Many times I preach out of the overflow of my life, and sometimes that overflow is the positive that comes out, and some of the overflow is the negative, and it's the things that God brings to the surface in my life that I need to work on. And so that is exactly what I'm ministering on this week. And thank God for truth. Truth always sets people free. It always does. Genesis chapter 3, we're going to start at verse 1, and it says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from the tree in the from any tree in the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.'" In verse 4 it says here, "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." You know, when the word says that the serpent was more crafty than any other animal in the garden, that's the truth. And Satan still is extremely crafty. So crafty that he does not need any more tricks, because the same three are working for him since the beginning of time. He comes to do three things: to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And then there's a promise that God holds there. He says, "But I have come that they may have life and that they'd have it abundantly." Now, you can't have an abundant life if you don't do the Word of God. And that's what a lot of people in today's society want. They want God's life and God's blessings, but they don't want to work out the Word, and they don't want to work out their own salvation. And so here is Eve, and Satan comes to her and he says, "Did God really say you couldn't do that? Did he really say that you couldn't do that?" God's word never changes. His mind never changes. That's good for us in many, many ways. But when you're trying to do what you want to do that God didn't ordain, that's where it becomes a problem for you, because he won't change his mind. And I'm going to continue on here, and it says, "When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and she ate it. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it." Verse 7, "Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked." For the first time, they saw themselves differently. They didn't even know that they were naked until they did what God told them not to do. See, the devil will talk you into stuff and then immediately condemn you after you do it. Why? Because he's crafty and he only has three objectives for your life, and everything he wants to do falls under those three categories. "Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves." Here's the part I love. "Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you? Where are you?'" And you can imagine being in that garden. You can imagine hiding. And then you can imagine hearing God himself walking through the garden. And all of a sudden he stops and he begins to speak to the man that he created. And he said, "Where are you? Where are you?" Now let me tell you something. God knew exactly where he was. God knows exactly where you're at today. He knows exactly what's going on in your life. He knows exactly what secret sin that you're struggling with. He knows exactly the family dynamic that's causing you grief. He knows exactly what's going on with you. Amen. And many times throughout your life, God's going to walk up in there and he's going to say, "Where are you? Where are you?" See, when you're in the middle of sin, where are you? Many times believers don't even know where they're at. You need to know what's going on in your life. I guarantee you, if I went around and said, "Okay, I want every person to tell me what's God doing in your life," there'd be half of you, you would just wouldn't be able to answer. Now, if this is offending to you, I'm going to remind you that when you feel offended when the pastor begins to speak, most of the time, that's conviction. What is conviction? It's the Holy Spirit coming in there saying, now here's an area we need to work on. This isn't quite right in your life. Where are you? And he answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. Here's Adam. He says, God, I heard you, and I felt fear. I felt fear. And because I was afraid, I hid from you. And God said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? See, up until that moment where they did what God told them not to do, up until that very moment, they had no idea that they were even naked. But the moment that they ate that fruit from the tree that God said, don't do that, they had a revelation and they began to see, because that sin right here stepped into humanity, and for the first time, humanity did what God told them not to do. And what did humanity do? Hide from God. I felt fear and I hid from you. The man said, I love this classic answer. Ugh. The man said, the woman that you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it. Now let me just explain something to you, okay? Anybody who's ever raised kids, you have dealt with this, the same exact problem. Okay. We have got to learn how to own our sin. We have got to learn how to own our life. And we have got to learn how to own our feelings. Because until we can own it, we can't do nothing else about it. See, you got to own it first. And he says, here's God. And God's like, okay, first of all, you must have eaten from that tree. I told you not to, because see, you didn't even know beforehand that you were naked, and now you do. So that tells me you did what I told you not to do. It's like a little kid when they've got cookies all over their mouth and you say, did you eat those cookies? And they're going, no. And you're going, yeah, you did, because you're wearing them. It's the same thing here. And God asks him, did you eat from that tree? And Adam, what he should have said was, yes, God, I did it. But he couldn't do that. He wanted to pass that buck on to somebody else. And that's why he said, the woman you gave me made me do it. And he was actually blaming two people there, God and the woman. Now, if you don't like the Word of God, just understand I didn't write it, but I am going to point out certain things here because they're very relevant to what we're talking about today. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? And the woman said, once again, people that cannot take accountability. The woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate it. You know, there's times in your life where what God is looking for is yes or no. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. See, because God already knew they did it. Now, I'm going to twist this into what we're actually talking about today, because we're not picking on men and we're not picking on women. But what we are going to talk about is this right here. You are responsible for the way you allow yourself to feel about other people that have done you wrong. You are responsible for working out your own salvation with what you do when other people have wronged you. You are responsible. If I go out and I just do some awful things, and God says, Kelly, why did you do that? And I said, well, Daddy here didn't give me enough cookies when I was growing up, and it's all his fault. Guess who's in trouble with the Lord? Me. I would like to consider myself a pretty kind-hearted, merciful person. That's really who I am about 95% of my life. And the other 5% still needs a whole lot of the Lord. Because there's that 5% in me that on a bad day, it's coming out, and it's coming out in all of its splendor, or lack thereof. And this week, I've been just a little edgy this week. I'm not going to lie. I've been a little edgy because I've been trying to work some things out of myself. And I'm going to tell you something. God loves you so much that he will reveal what you ain't got going on that's good. He'll show you. This part, this ain't no good for you. You got this going on, you need to change that. See, God loves you so much that he'll tear all that stuff, all of the justification, and he'll show you that what you're doing is wrong. Frank was there, and I just said, Frank, because here's the deal with Frank, and most men are like this. How many of you men, you really don't like when your wife's in a bad mood? You're like, oh, God, I got to be in the house with her? I said, Frank, I'm just going to tell you, I'm in a bad mood, and I'm going to tell you why I'm in a bad mood. And I don't want you to solve any of my problems, because this is not a problem-solving session. This is just I'm going to vent. Because, you know, Frank likes to solve a lot of my problems. There's some problems he can't solve because he ain't God. And only me and God can work these things out. And only you and God can work some of your stuff out. I said, Frank, I'm really having difficulty being my normal, merciful, graceful self and loving somebody, because they continually are doing me wrong constantly. Every time I turn around, they're talking bad. And I said, to the point where I want to step up out of line with where God wants me to be. And I can't do that, but I want to so bad. And not only that, but I've got some feelings in here that I know aren't right. And I'm letting them stay there. See, you don't need a pastor to tell you life is so great. You need a pastor that they get up there and they'll tell you what's going on in their life. And I'm telling you that sometimes in my life, I just have to stop and I have to say, you know what, God, it's not this person's fault. This is on me, because I have allowed myself to continually feel that hatred towards them and that bitterness towards them and that irritation and resentment towards them. See, we are responsible for how we feel about other people. We are responsible for the feelings that we allow to stay there about other people. And you say, well, Pastor Kelly, you don't know what they did. It don't matter what they did. The Word of God says, now vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And one misstep can alter so many things. Go with me to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 1. We have to take responsibility for our sin. Yes, I did it. Yes, I thought it. Yes, I said it. Yes, I let myself feel that way. What is today's message about? Don't let other people's sin make you sin. I'm going to say that one more time. For the people in the back, the people in the front, and the people in the middle, and the pastor up here. Don't let other people's sin make you sin. Don't let it. And yes, you have a choice. Yes, you have a choice. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Amen. You know, the sacrificial death of Christ sets you free. You were not free before that. You had a law that you could never contend with, and there was never a way for you to be in heaven, and never a way that you could be good enough. And God didn't like that, and he said, you know what, the only way I can pay for the sins of humanity is to send my son. And he sent his son. He has no regrets. He doesn't take it back. Amen. Jesus sets you free. You need to stay free. Many times we slip back into the old man by the way we allow ourselves to feel about other people, and you are responsible for how you feel about others. I'm not saying you have to sing Kumbaya with them. What am I saying? You're responsible that however you feel about that person, it's not a sin against God. I want you to take a look at your life. Is there sin in there? It's not necessarily that you're just doing something. It's just that there's a way that you feel about somebody and you just hate their guts. See, this is real preaching.
That's a real deal.
Oh my God, the pastor said the word hate. We shouldn't say the word hate. It's not pretty. Well, life isn't pretty. Look up in your heart. Look in your life. Are you rehearsing what you're going to say to that person or what you'd like to say to them? Are you replaying what they did every time you have a bad day? Because see, that can't stay there. It can't stay there and you still be who you're supposed to be for God. Sin is a yoke of slavery. And I encourage you not to let other people's sin make you sin. Why? Because it binds you up.
Amen.
It just binds you up. Go with me now to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 13 through 18. See, you don't have to be a slave to the hurt feelings, to the offenses, to the grudges, to the, oh, they did me wrong 20 years ago and you don't know what they did. Or, oh, they this or they that. See, a lot of our sinning is not necessarily that we're just going out and sinning and living it up. But a lot of the sin is happening right up in here. In your heart of hearts.
Yes.
I've shed many tears this week about this very subject, and I've just come to the point with Cece where I understand it's not on that other person, it's on me. It's on me. Can you come to that place where God can speak correction into your life and you can just say, it's me. God, I don't even care to tell you what they did. I don't even care to tell you what they said because, God, you know it more than I do. God, I'm going to trust you with whatever you decide to do with the both of us. The problem is a lot of times we care too much about how God's going to deal with that other person and we want to make sure it's rough enough. Right? I've either got some really nice people up in the church or some really tired people. Which one is it? Are we all saints or are we just like, did she get a part of my life page this week? Well, what's going on? Who ratted me out to the pastor? I'm ratting myself out to you. Don't let other people's sin make you sin. You're responsible for what's going on up in here and in your life. God doesn't want you to be torn up, but he wants you to be completely whole. But you can't be that if you're just sitting there and you're going through this thing in your head with them. Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 18. Yet you, my brothers, were called to be free. Were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. See, a lot of the indulging that goes on is in our thought life and in the things that we allow to stay there that we know shouldn't be there. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. See, the sinful nature up inside of you wants to make you feel like it's okay to keep those feelings going. It's okay if you just hate their guts. It's okay if you tell them off. It's okay if you get up in harps and cuss them out in the grocery store. And let me tell you something. No, it's not okay. And God will never be okay with it. If we live by the Spirit, we will not gratify the sinful nature. What does this mean to us in modern day? If you will stay in step with what God has for you, if you will stay in step with what the Holy Spirit has in your life for you, you will make yourself not indulge in the sin that's going on in your mind and your heart. Most of the people that I talk to and counsel with are bitter people. I don't get a lot of happy. By the time they want to talk to me, they ain't none of them happy. Why? Because they allowed for way too long for that thing inside of there to grow roots and to get down deep inside of them. Let me tell you, you got to work it out. You got to surrender that to God. See, don't let what they did to you make you sin on the inside. There's people. You don't know what you ate last night, but you could tell me what Buckethead did to you 20 years ago and how they did it, what they said, and what they were wearing. Right or wrong? I get it. See, sometimes we want to go down memory lane with people we should have just left behind. Left them behind, let the Lord heal what they did, and just move on. But see, that devil wants to scratch and aggravate that sore inside of you all the time. See, God said, I've called you to be free. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Now, you are all called to be free. What does the devil do to people that are trying to be free? He just gets in their thought life. Remember what they did to you. No, you don't need to remember it. You don't need to remember it. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. You have to decide, am I going to live as a hurt person? Am I going to live as an offended person? And am I going to live allowing myself to have these thoughts and to have these feelings and to have these deep sores and holes inside of my life? Because see, you don't have to. But many times they've become a part of who you are, and you've grown comfortable with them being there, and you've worked your life around them. The other day, I like to be around intelligent people. How about y'all? I mean, that's great. Love it. I had some guys out over my house. And they were all talking what we were going to do with some trees. Now, I'm a woman and I'm not a construction worker, but there's certain things that I know, and they're going to be a certain way. And one of them was saying, well, we can dig up this stump and then we can leave this one here. And let me tell you something. If I chop something down, it's coming out, the roots and all. I want it out of there. See, I don't want no chance of nothing coming back. You choose. I've really had several come to Jesus meetings this week with my own self and the Lord. And I'm going to share some things that God has shared with me. Because I found myself this week, I've been saved since I was 7 years old. I've loved God and known God and been a believer most of my life. And I came to that place and I said, God, how do I really love my enemy? How do I love them? I know that you said to do that, but how do I do that? Because I don't love them. Anybody got anybody you feel that way about? I'm glad to be with some normal people. Just keep it real with yourself. The first thing that God put in my heart was this right here. Choose to put the feeling aside. Choose to put the feeling aside. A lot of times what got us to really upset with somebody is just there was that feeling. We felt hurt. We felt disappointed. We felt let go. We felt betrayed. We felt like they stabbed us in the back. What is God saying? Choose to put the feeling to the side. Put it to the side. Don't gratify your sinful nature, because if you go by your feelings, you're going to indulge your sinful nature. Choose to put the feeling aside. Feelings will get you in trouble. Number two, shut every voice out till all the voice that you hear is the voice of truth. You're going to always be able to find somebody that'll get on your side and say, yeah, you're justified for thinking what you think. Yeah, you're justified in thinking that they're a dirty, rotten son of a gun. Oh, yeah, you're right. They did do that to you. You're justified. And let me tell you something. There is no room in that situation for anybody but you and God to sit there and work that out. You don't need to call Sally Sue. You don't need to call Josie Joe. You need to call God, and that needs to be your only call, because you're going to muddy your waters up and you're going to get some dumb advice, because humans give dumb advice sometimes. And the more they love you, the more they may be saying, yeah, you're okay, just keep on hating them. And see, God's saying, no, I want to set you free, and you can't keep that hate in there and be free. Shut it all out. Shut every voice that makes you feel justified and keeping that sinful thing up inside of you. Shut it all out, because you don't need it. Shut everything out till all you hear is what God is saying to you. We like to play scenarios in our head. Well, I know the Bible says don't do this, but can I get away with this? And it's like one level below what they really, really wanted to do. The answer is still no. I was doing that this week. Now, I know I can't do this, but I can do that. And God's going, you ain't doing none of that. You're not doing none of that, because you'd still be in the wrong. Do you love the Lord enough today where you say, God, I just want to be in the right. I just want to be in the right. Lord, you correct me. You correct me. Put that righteousness of who you are, put it up inside of me. Let's go to Luke chapter 6, verse 27, and I'm going to read this out of the CEV version. Luke chapter 6, verse 27. Will you shut everything out? This is what I say to all who will listen to me. Here's God. This is what I say to all who will listen to me. Will you listen to God? Will you listen to Him? See, a lot of people will listen until He tells them they got to do something a certain way, and then they're done. No, God, you're not letting me keep this hatred. That's it. We're going to zone that out. Love your enemies and be good to everyone who hates you. The God way of loving our enemy goes against the grain of society. Decide how you want your situation to go. Do you want to live a natural life, or do you want to live a supernatural life? Because a supernatural life is going to require you to do things in a supernatural type of way. The world would say, go ahead and hate your enemy. Go ahead and keep on hating them. God says, I don't care what they did. I'm asking you to forgive them, and I'm asking you to get that out of your heart. The word says here, this is what I'm saying for all who will listen. Be good to everyone who hates you. The first thing we want to do to people that haven't been good to us, that hate our guts, is we want to do bad to them. We want them to know what they did. We want them to know that they're on the out and we're mad at them. We're going to give them the silent treatment. We're disgusted. What does the word tell us? Be good to all them people. Be good to them. That's not easy to do. God will line you up in ways that you can be good to them. When you hear what another thing that they said and you want to just get so mad, what do you got to do? Well, here's a way you can be good to them. Lord God, right now, you just heard what Sally Sue, little heifer, said. God, I don't care what they said. Lord, I'm asking you to just bless them. God, I'm asking that you would work whatever's going on in their life. Lord, whatever's going on, Lord, I ask that you'd help them. God, if they don't feel good, if they got a bad report from the doctor, Lord, whatever's going on in their life, Lord, I ask that you'd help them. How can you do that to people that hate you? You can start practicing. You can start practicing because practice will make you perfect in that. It's going to help you. Be good to people that hate you. Verse 28, ask God to bless anyone who curses you. The word of God says you have not because you ask not. How do we love our enemies? Ask God to bless them. Ask God to bless them. Well, I don't want to see my enemy blessed. Well, it don't matter what you want. Ask God to bless them. Ask Him to bless them. Because see, the same God that you need some blessing from is the same God that's sitting over them and what they've done. And He's the same God that know what you did too. And pray for everyone who is cruel to you. Pray for them that's cruel to you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, don't stop that person from slapping you on the other cheek. If someone wants to take your coat, don't try to keep back your shirt. Give to everyone who asks, and don't ask people to return what they've taken from you. The golden rule is found in verse 31. Treat others just as you would want to be treated. How do you love your enemies? You start treating them the way that you'd like to be treated, regardless of what they deserve, regardless of what you think that they need. Treat them the way that you'd like to be treated. You don't know everything that's going on with your enemy, and they don't know everything that's going on with you. Be good to your haters. Be good to them. Be good to people that you know don't like you. Be good to them. That's not easy to do. Because the natural human reaction, I'm just going to keep this real. I am a hot-blooded Italian woman. And when you get me going, I'm going. We're running through all the stop signs. With my mouth and everything else. But I can tell I've had a little bit of growth in my life over the years. We had the backpack thing, and at the beginning of the year, I told God, I said, God, give me opportunities to bless my enemies. And that's not a prayer I would normally pray over myself, because I don't like to see my enemies, let alone have any opportunities with them. I've been known to pull up in Walmart and see people's car and just decide I didn't want to deal with them that day and turn around and go. Now, if you think that's terrible, you just need to evaluate your own life. Because I'm just the one that's the gutsy enough one to get up here and tell you all my dirty stuff. And you know what I know? Lots of y'all been dodging people at Walmart. Okay. Sometimes I'm like, God, why did you call me to pastor? Because I'm very flawed. But you know what? He knows I've got a big mouth, and I will tell y'all everything. If that'll help you. If it'll help you. I had people calling, Pastor Kelly, do you got a backpack for this one and that one and this one and that one? I sure do. I sure the heck do. Why? Because I'm working on my enemies. I'm working on it. I'm working on it. Because, Angel, here's the deal. When it comes to me and the blessing and the favor of God, I don't want anything standing up in that way. If I don't have them backpacks, I'll go buy them with my own money and I'll have them. Because you know what? I want everything that God has for me. And I'm going to take him at his word. God, if you said you would handle my enemies, I am going to step back. I'm going to get myself and my feelings in check. I'm going to hold myself to that standard that you very clearly lined out for me in the Word of God. And I'm going to manage what you've said. I'm going to do what you said. I'm going to bless them. You say, Pastor Kelly, every time I turn around, this person's doing something to me. I know. I get it. I get it. What does that mean for you? There's a very big blessing if you can get through this. Sometimes the problem with us and just getting through these hard things is that the people we're dealing with, they're just repeat offenders. They're just doing it all the time. Every time you turn around, you hear it. Every time you turn around, they're doing something hurtful. And you say, well, just be away from that person. You know, sometimes that's not possible. Once again, I'm going to remind you, don't let other people's sin make you sin. You are responsible for how you have allowed your heart to be. You are responsible for the condition of your heart. And one day, you will give an account for everything that you let stay there. You can't afford to sit there and sin just because of what somebody's doing to you. Because, see, you have a choice. Don't be like Adam. Well, the wife you gave me. No, you did it. Oh, I don't hate that person. I just don't really like them. No, get over yourself and just be truthful. Because, see, if you didn't hate them, you'd be like, yeah, I like them. But, see, there's something about Christians, and we like to be super legalistic, and we like to sound like we're doing the Word but not actually do it. Well, they're not my favorite person, but I like them okay. You know what that's code for? I hate their guts. Because, see, if you didn't, you'd just say, yeah, I like them. They're fine. Verse 35, but love your enemies and be good to them. Love your enemies and be good to them. Love your enemies and be good to them. I went to God, I don't know how many times this week, and I said, God, but what about what they're doing? God said, Kelly, the only one I'm wanting to deal with about this is you. Is you. See, God loves you so much, he will send conviction to that heart right where it needs to be. Right where it needs to be. Last place for me this morning, Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to look at verse 10. One of the things that we do is we take it personal. We take it so personal. Very personal. I went to God this week and I was just telling him, turn that down just a little bit. And I literally said the words, God, what are you going to do about this person? Because God, I'm tired of this. God, I'm ready for this to be over. I'm sick of them. You get what I'm saying, Mark? Just like, ugh. And God told me, Kelly, you're taking this personal, and it's really not personal, but the anointing inside of you, the favor inside of you, the God inside of you, it ain't clicking with them. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, let the mighty strength of the Lord make you strong. Put on all the armor that God gives so you can defend yourself against the devil's tricks. Verse 12, this is very important for you to understand about your enemies. We are not fighting against humans, flesh and blood. We are fighting against forces and authorities and against rulers of darkness and powers in the spiritual world. See, you're wanting to hate the person, and what this is a spiritual matter. Now, I'm going to ask you to make an altar where you're at. If at any point in this message you have felt that conviction, you're saying, God, I got to get this part right of my life. I'm going to ask you to examine your life. We're about to take communion. See, the devil will tell you, well, you can't take communion because of all this stuff. You know what? You probably need to take some communion. Okay? Now, I can't force you to do whatever, but I can tell you, examine your heart. If there's some things that you need to say, God, help me in this area. Lord, I've got this sin in my life. Can you help me with it? Get it out of there. And ask Brother Sam up here, Brother Frank up here, Brother Larry up here. We're going to take the bread and the cup at the same time. Sam, or get the middle, sweetheart. You know, for some of you, you just sat there for the first time in several days. You got that one moment of peace. Keep it. Keep it. they've just handed you this bread. The Word of God says that this is my body that was broken for you. His body was broke so you didn't have to live a broken life. There's a part of your physical body and you have an infirmity on your life, or if there's a part of you in your life where you say, you know, God, this part of my life is just very broken, and Lord, I need a mending, I'm going to ask you to stand. Because see, the whole purpose of the cross was for this right here. What we're doing, what we're remembering, this was the purpose for the cross. To make a way for us. To give us the healing that we need. Spirit, soul, and body. I ask you to break that and pray with me here. Father in heaven, I thank you right now for the mending that you're doing. God, I thank you for healing and comfort coming into me right now. In Jesus' name, amen. This cup is the blood of Jesus that was poured out for the forgiveness of sins. The devil likes to make people think, well, God can't forgive what you did. God forgives it. He forgives it. You need to receive that. This is also the cup of blessing. God's still very much into blessing his children. If there's an area of your life that you need blessed, I'm going to ask you to stand. Father in heaven, right now, I thank you for every person right here, God, receiving this communion. Lord, I thank you that you're blessing them. God, I thank you that you're making a way for them that there wasn't before. God, we receive that right now in Jesus' name, amen. Y'all may partake. I'm going to get this blue microphone. Dad, I'm going to have you say a blessing. There's a box of food for every household in the back.